Straight Talk on WRHI is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk broadcast, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors, online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. Find out more online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. And to HighSpeedWeb.net that streams our signal 24/7, 365. Well, he just came in here with a couple of blue lights behind him.
I didn't see you.
I saw them all. As soon as they saw your license plate, they just kept right on going. It's State Senator Wes Clymer, who just winged his way down from the county seat in New York. How you doing?
Man, good to see you. Thanks for having me.
Well, I'm glad you're here. So, what's exciting in your world besides dealing with everything associated with the pandemic?
That is the most exciting part now. Being at home with five children has been pretty exciting. I've been working from home for, I guess, the last 7 weeks, and with some exception, go to the office every now and then. But
well, we could do a whole show on that. How do you get any work done at home?
Yeah,
with five kids ranging from,
they are 9, 7, 5, 3, and 1.
Ain't no way you're getting anything done.
Well, it can be a struggle at times, but it's really been amid all this chaos and all the misery that has afflicted so many. You got to look for the bright spots, and I have a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old with whom I've never spent more time. Right? I mean, I've been at home with them more than they've seen their dad more over the last 2 months than at any other point in their lives. And I have so loved getting to spend time with the children and take a more active role in their education. It kind of makes me, we're all sort of kicking around these, what does a post-COVID world look like?
Mm-hmm.
And I see a lot of benefit in doing more hours at home and fewer hours in the office, as long as the work gets done, Anyway, so that's...
But it's interesting. I have talked to several of my friends in this community who I will remain unnamed, who had to shutter their workers at home.
Yeah.
These are larger companies. And it's interesting that the feedback that they're getting, number one, their employees like it.
Yeah.
And the productivity in most cases is up over it was in the office because they don't have the interruptions in the office.
That's right.
People dropping in saying, hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
Phone, here, there, go up this floor, down that floor, that kind of thing. And it's one of these business owners particularly said, as we look at future building plans,
right,
it makes us wonder how we could do this. Now, we're not suggesting that people will work at home forever, but maybe a week at home, a week in the office,
sure,
share space,
yeah,
that kind of stuff, keep us from having to build a building.
A lot more conference rooms, a lot less individual offices,
Yeah,
it's a really interesting question. I think this is... given rise to a lot of people in a lot of industry rethinking a whole lot of kind of fundamental principles about how they conduct their business, and it'll be exciting to see. I mean, this is if there's one defining attribute to our economy and the people of this country is that we are innovators,
yeah,
right? We are entrepreneurs, we are innovators, and we are going to get through this, we're going to get past it. There will be a time we talk about COVID in the past tense,
yeah,
But between now and then, I'm just really interested and frankly fascinated to see how all these innovators and entrepreneurs are going to kind of take the lessons learned here and fundamentally reshape the world that we've lived in.
So now you obviously bump into your constituents all the time.
Yeah.
And being shuttered at home for a couple of months,
yeah,
you're probably bumping into them even more. Are you hearing the same kinds of stories? Are you hearing hardship stories? I mean, there's a lot of businesses. Restaurants is one of them. They have just absolutely been decimated. Hotels, been decimated.
Yeah.
We've been...
You hear... I hesitate to put a number. I should, at some point, I'll go back and quantify the number of people I've helped get unemployment insurance. Mm-hmm. And some of the emails and phone calls that I've gotten from folks who've lost a job, you know, they just because there was a government imposed shutdown, or you know, demand fell off for whatever reason, or just heartbreaking. I mean, single mothers with, you know, a couple children emailing saying, "You got to help me with the unemployment insurance. I don't know where we're going to get our next meal. We you got to help us." And then we also, just as you mentioned earlier, hear from some folks for whom, you know, this has really not been, it's allowed them the flexibility to rethink sort of big picture strategic decisions about how they want to live. And then in the worst case scenario, you hear from people who have lost loved ones, yeah, from this. I mean, there is a lot of pain and tragedy associated with this that is indescribable. On the flip side, there's also, I've been overwhelmed, I mean, just overwhelmed with the, not one or two, but dozens and dozens and dozens of stories of just everyday citizens stepping up to help take food to the elderly who can't get out. I mean, I know you're involved with Pathways. You guys have stepped up in an incredible way. I talked with a bakery in Fort Mill that just sort of voluntarily, well, we got extra food, we're going to go take it to people who need it. And there are so many stories like that about people in this community seeing a need, stepping up and delivering on the need. And it makes me really proud to live here, and really just redoubles the sense of honor and humility that I feel getting to be, you know, when we're in Columbia and you stand up to say something, they don't say your name. They say the senator from Richland or the senator from Charleston. And it's just a real honor to stand up and they say the senator from York, when I know back home there's so many people stepping up and serving one another in such incredible ways.
You know, we got something that's been going on here for over a week. Carroll Financial has been buying lunches for teachers here at Substation 2. They fed over 250 teachers.
That's a perfect example.
And this week they're doing healthcare workers, and the numbers are just incredible already. On the first, I mean, it's just, that's kind of neat stuff people are doing.
Right, yeah.
Neat stuff.
Oh, and then we got so many businesses at home here locally and across the state who have totally reformatted their production lines. They might have been making widgets one day, but now they're making face shields and masks and gowns for medical professionals. I mean, it is it's really a sight to behold. And amid all this, the tragedy and crisis, it is it's amazing to live in a place where we have such decent, caring, hardworking people who are just out trying to take care of one another.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just awe inspiring.
And I think we've got to give credit where credit is due. I believe that Henry McMaster and his team figured out the right way to do this thing. And we have been, for many states, an example as to how you should do it.
Yeah.
Slow but sure.
And that's what Fauci said last week. He said he was so complimentary of the way South Carolina has handled this, and in particular, as you said, Governor McMaster, he said if I could, you know, pick a state to clone to some degree, he would pick South Carolina. Credit where credit is due. And I think anybody can Monday morning quarterback and quibble with this or that, and we're going to hear a lot of that. But in the main, Governor McMaster has handled this really quite admirably.
I think he has, and his Accelerate SC committee, smart. I mean, bring all these different people together, let them hear from them directly, and then formulate a plan.
Yeah,
which makes sense for each of the industries. You'll notice that I have a new song. Guess who got a haircut? I did.
Yeah.
I got one this morning.
How'd it feel?
You should have seen the reams of hair that came. I mean, it was something. It was embarrassing. But I mean, this was the first day that you could do the haircuts, right? So slow but sure, piece by piece, we're coming back online. Yeah. The one thing that but we'll find out. Memorial Day weekend is coming up.
Yeah.
Most people head down to the beach. We've seen a lot of scenes from beaches across the country, and I just hope people remember beach is a big place.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Try to spread out a little bit.
Right.
Don't get on top of everybody.
Yeah.
We don't need. We had. I don't know whether you heard this morning, but South Carolina for the first time on Friday reported we have no COVID deaths for the past week. First time since early March.
Right.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
It is a very, very good sign, and certainly one that we all hope and pray continues.
Yeah.
You know?
All right. Well, with that exciting news, we're going to go ahead and take our mid-program late because you were late getting here.
No. I was right on time.
Those blue lights right behind it. We're going to go ahead and take our mid-program break. Remind you that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. This place is hopping today, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. And our thanks as well to Good Pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Now, Senator Wes Clymer knows the magic formula here at Substation 2. Cherry Road across from Winthrop, fresh subs and saddles 7 days a week. How do they do it, Wes? 1, 2, 3.
Slice,
slice, slice. Slice.
Garden.
Not bad. Back after these words.
Look at. If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
I like the friendly service, and I like that the meat's fresh and the food tastes good. They slice the meat right there in front of you.
Man, it's just utterly delicious.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
My concern is let's not let fear of COVID cloud people's judgment about their health. We don't want people sitting at home with heart attacks, stroke, those things that are life-threatening.
Piedmont Medical Center Chief Executive Officer Mark Nosaka, expressing his concern about those who fear coming to the ER.
People are still going to have heart disease. They're still going to have heart attacks. They're still going to need heart surgery. And we're providing all those services while we're protecting people from COVID.
Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care.
Our lives have changed tremendously lately. Founders Federal Credit Union wants you to know we are here for you. While our world right now may be uncertain, your money at Founders is not. Founders Federal Credit Union is fully backed by the NCUA, and Founders members have many ways to access their money at Founders. Our drive-thrus remain open, many with extended hours. Our ATMs are fully serviced. Founders Online and the Founders app are available to you 24/7. Relax. We are your credit union, and we are here for you. Not a member of Founders? Visit relaxjoinfounders.com to apply for membership.
This is Danny Rogers with Paul Davis Restoration and Remodeling. If your home or business is damaged by water, fire, storm, or mold, Paul Davis is here to help. We are staffed with over 35 trained and certified professionals to handle any type of property damage. Our team mission is to provide extraordinary care while serving our neighbors in their time of need. Whether you need repairs in one room or rebuild a whole home, Paul Davis is here to help. Find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
It's just always a great, consistent meal.
Enjoy the Italian sub with the salami.
I enjoy just the atmosphere.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk continues now on WRHI. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. State Senator Wes Clymer is with us today, along with about 100 of his best friends. This place is unbelievable.
It's hopping today. It's good. It's good to see.
It's good to see, absolutely. The word is out. Healthcare workers are complimentary meal today, this week, courtesy of Carroll Financial. Anyway, so Senator Clymer.
That's great.
Come on in. We definitely have lost it. Is this a healthcare reunion over here? Look at them. They don't even know the radio show's on. They have no idea. They're so happy to see each other. Are you all happy to see each other? Because all that screaming and yelling is live on the radio right now. No, it's fine.
It's good to be out. It's good to be out.
See people laughing. Yeah, having a good time. Okay, let's get back to South Carolina. Number one. Your biggest challenge this year is obviously going to be this budget.
Yeah, yeah.
And you've got a continuing resolution so you can take a breath and operate the way you did last year.
Yeah.
But the most interesting thing to me is, you all had planned on a little bit less than $2 billion of new revenue
right.
for this year.
Yeah.
I, you know, some people say we might have half of that. I'm thinking, I'm beginning to think you probably have none, no new money.
You're probably closer.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how do you handle all of the plans and representations you've made, particularly to teachers?
Yeah.
You told teachers we're there for round
right.
two of these.
Yeah.
So what are you all talking about there?
So one, it was the right decision not to pass a budget in April or May, right, because of the extraordinary uncertainty around what the actual revenue numbers will end up being.
Yeah.
You don't know how much money you have to spend. We were blessed to have entered this budget cycle with, as you mentioned, about a $1.8 billion surplus, which is about 18% of the budget. So that's a meaningful cushion. The state also, you know, South Carolina is one of the few states that maintains a AAA credit rating, right? So the state sort of enters this financial or this economic crisis in relatively good shape. The state does have pretty meaningful reserves and rainy day funds. The federal government, through the CARES Act, extended about $1.3 billion to South Carolina. And if who knows what will happen in Washington, but I think it's the presumption of many that there will be additional federal funds made available to states and municipalities to help offset the precipitous decline in revenue that came from, you know, just putting the economy on full stop for 6 to 8 weeks. And so presumably, when the General Assembly comes back in September, there will be a lot more clarity around what the budget ultimately looks like. There will be clarity around what the state's own tax revenues would be. And further, there ought to be some more clarity around what the federal government will, by that time, have decided to do as it relates to states and municipalities in terms of helping offset some of the tax losses from this crisis.
So you're assured already of $1.3 billion from the CARES Act?
Yes.
Well, that offsets a lot of the... That's a lot.
Yeah.
So maybe you could go ahead. I mean, if you had a little bit... If the original projection was we're only going to get about half of what we had before, let's say, and you add $1.3 billion to it,
right?
You'll be whole.
Yeah, so if you had, you know, an 18% buffer with the surplus ballpark and then 13% from the federal government, right, then so now you're up to a third. And so presumably if tax revenues declined by less than a third, then that would mean a situation where there weren't, you know, mid-year budget cuts across the board at agencies across the state. The needs on government have also exploded. I mean, I mentioned at the outset the number of people on unemployment insurance.
Well, you're showing out like $1 billion.
Well, there was a $1 billion trust fund,
right,
in the Department of Employment Workforce, you know, unemployment insurance fund. I'll not get the exact date correct, so just suffice it to say that barring a dramatic and quick resurgence in employment, that trust fund will run dry. And so the state's going to have to backfill that or, you know, get creative with how to continue those unemployment payments.
But then you still have the issue about the state's, oh my gosh, I'm drawing a blank, the retirement fund.
The pension.
Pension, thank
all
you.
That? Yeah. The pension has, you know, so I'm on the, one of the committees I serve on is the Senate Oversight Committee, and I'm chairing a subcommittee looking at the Pension Investment Committee. And that was actually the last subcommittee meeting I had before the General Assembly just, you know, shut down like everything else did. And I have a sneaking suspicion that the next conversation we have as we continue that oversight of the Investment Commission is going to be very, very different than the last conversation we had.
You think?
Yeah.
And then on top of that, you've got the medical benefits.
Yeah.
I mean, all this
Medicaid,
stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. It is so that, you know, you look at both a significant, huge decline in revenue and correspondingly a massive increase in demands on government services.
Do you think that the state of South Carolina will ever get to a point where, when it comes to pension, that you do what the private sector is doing, which is basically a 401ks?
I do. Yeah. The Senate adopted an amendment to a pension reform bill in 2017 that would have converted the defined benefit pension to a defined contribution, which is something like a 401k.
Right.
Once the pension was actuarially sound, and what that means is once the pension had recovered from the abuse it took over the preceding 20-year period of time, once there was enough money in there to guarantee all future benefits, and that provision was adopted in the Senate. A lot of debate around that, and then ultimately it was struck from the bill in the conference committee between the House and the Senate. But I raised that point to say I think the political will is there to do that, and certainly the economics would support it, right? I think with the defined benefit pension, it's not something that you could fix and walk away from. It is historically in every state that has it, it's a once-a-generation crisis. And so the key is, and I've looked at some of the numbers too, when you look at the contribution rates between the employer, that is the taxpayer, and the employee, that is the worker, if you look at their contribution rates and put that into a 401k plan over the 25, 30, 35 years that they're working, most of those people would have a lot more money with a 401k than they do with a pension.
Yep.
And simultaneously, you absolve the taxpayers of this
huge responsibility,
indefinite liability of its extraordinary in quantity.
Yeah. But it's a big question of changing the mentality of people.
Yeah.
And the way to change that is when the timing is right and the timing seems to be right. So the Senate is basically on recess now. Are you still doing any committee work or anything?
There's very, very limited committee work. But, the General Assembly is basically just not meeting at the moment. So typically the General Assembly would adjourn for the year around, May 14th, May 15th.
Right.
A resolution that was adopted when the General Assembly came back into session last week sets a marker out into the future that says the General Assembly is going to come back in session, in September to conduct a lot of the business that would have otherwise been conducted in April or May.
30 seconds. Do you think Santee Cooper is going to get resolved during whenever the session comes back? You can do it in 5 seconds and say no.
I hope so. I don't know how to assign odds to that.
Okay.
But I think it's in the best interest of the people of South Carolina that Santee Cooper be sold.
Now, I couldn't let you go without saying a comment or two. I know you guys are very pleased with all the effort that you put in down in the General Assembly a year ago to get the Carolina Panther bill through.
Yeah.
That finally it's through all the local hurdles.
Yeah.
And now it's a fait accompli. It's going to happen.
Yeah. How about a billion-dollar counter-cyclical economic stimulus in York County right now? How does that sound? Pretty good, right? I mean, we're in a pretty deep recession, and to have that kind of capital investment coming into this community and the kind of jobs it supports, construction work, truckers, engineers, architects, all that stuff, that is going to be a really healthy thing for this community in the very near term.
In fact, one of your fellow members of the delegation, Gary Simrell, who is very involved with this project, sat here and I said, well, what would it be like if that hadn't been approved? Because it was approved on a split vote. His quote was, it would be like pouring a bucket of cold ice on the state of South Carolina with a great big sign, we're not interested in economic development.
Yeah, South Carolina in the main, but York County in particular. Yeah, I mean, communities that can demonstrate their ability to deliver on big projects that are meaningful in nature, right? In any economic cycle, you have vicious cycles and you have virtuous cycles, right? And I think this yields for us a more virtuous cycle where there are, more jobs, more employment, higher wages, and those are the kinds of things that we want to see.
So with all that being said, have you got anything to do during this off season? Besides five kids?
It's been a lot of work. I mean, been at home, but been busy.
Yeah.
And can I give up my I'm sure that if there are people listening today and you need help with if you're a business and need help with the Department of Commerce or you know, if you're unemployed and need help with unemployment insurance, if you need help with a state agency, and there are a lot of folks for a lot of different reasons who need help with a state agency, please get in touch.
Give them a number.
Okay, so 803-752-0052, and also Wes Clymer, WESCLIMER, at sccenate.gov.
Senator, thanks for all that you do. Thanks for being here today. I know you're a busy guy, and we appreciate all you do down there.
Thank you, Manning. Great to have you.
All right, that'll wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2. Jerry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments of Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. Now, of course, Dr. Scott Oliver has showed up to join with Wes Clymer in leading us in the all-important slogan here at Substation 2. Fresh subs and salads 7 days a week, prepared right before your eyes. How's it done, everybody, at the count of three? One, two, three. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. Not bad. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.
South Carolina's most honored radio station. News Talk 100.1 WRHI Rock Hill. W261 CY Rock Hill. The voice of your county.
An OTS media station.